Start a cult, bitch.
Yeah.
You want to start a cult?
Let's do it.
How fucking banging is that intro I made?
I mean, are you jerking yourself off right now?
Yeah. I mean, we got to pay homage.
Usually
to the
people
king.
Let other people compliment them before they just immediately compliment
That's
themselves.
That's not what cult leaders do, bro. How are you going to get people to believe you're the Messiah if you don't keep telling them you're the Messiah?
You trick them into thinking it and then
no.
They came up in it.
No. You got to tell people.
In their
you got to fucking tell the world, I am the Messiah. The king is upon us.
You don't do that to run the right people. You
Same
end up in a mental
royalty.
Institution.
Do you think people in the village went, that guy's definitely the king of this
place?
Yeah,
he's wearing purple.
No,
he's the only one purple.
Before they even had the purple dye, that king was like, hey guys, I'm the king. And they're like, what's a king? And he's like, well, I'll show you. And then he fucking raped everyone's wives.
Hell yeah, that's your goal?
I'm the king of kings, bitch. Yeah. I raped the king's bitches.
You already got the purple.
Purple's my favorite color. One time I went to like one of those.
I'm a grown man, so I don't have one, but.
Okay.
It's cute.
One time I went to this lady that like does chakra healing, and it was basically for a half hour. She just like ran her hands over my body and took a little spindly-do magnet thing and ran it over my chakras. And then after 45 minutes, I was like, so that's it? And she's like, yeah. Did you feel anything? And I was like, no, not really. She was like, well, I did. Your crown chakra is so activated. I got more out of it than you did, probably. I was like, sick. All right. Thanks.
Crown chakra.
Yeah.
First of all.
So the color of the crown chakra is purple.
Okay. That's when she's running her magnets over your chakra.
Yeah.
What part of your body is that?
It's like up and down your spine to your head. Yeah.
All that's your chakra, or is it different chakras along the railroad?
There's different chakras, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So just making different stops.
You've never seen like a chakra diagram of like no. Indian shit? No? Okay.
What do you think I am?
They believe it's like energy centers, which like if you thought the same thing about the organs in your body, you they're essentially energy centers for processing different forms of energies.
Not really.
Why not?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, your heart.
I don't get
your heart is an energy center. Your brain is an energy
in what way?
Center. In the way that it's creates energy.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
Every
thought you have is a synaptic firing. That's energy moving.
It's not created. It's energy.
Body.
Yeah, it's energy flowing through your body, but it's not being created in your brain or heart.
Where is it created?
In the food you eat.
No, it's in the food that you eat. And then it transmutes itself.
Your body
itself.
Processes the
yeah.
energy. It doesn't create
yeah.
anything.
And passes it around.
Yeah. Chakra, moves just, it. Chakra yeah. just sounds like astrology for your body. It's just...
Yeah, it is, essentially, yeah.
It's one of those it's one of those things where you don't actually have to prove anything you say. And then you charge someone $75
yeah, yeah.
to rub a
it
magnet
was, it
on
was
them.
A rip-off.
It's fucking retarded.
Yeah, it was not worth it.
It should be in a strip mall somewhere.
It was only $30, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, well, then what a deal.
Yeah, it was.
You didn't totally get fucked.
I've spent $30 on worse things than that.
Did she at least jerk you off?
No, she recognized that my crown chakra is fucking lit and gave me validation. That's what I paid $30 for. I have a lit crown chakra. I think better than most types of peoples.
So her job is exactly... what religious people's job is just to tell them
no.
people what they want to hear.
She's a hype man, like in hip hop. It's just somebody behind you that goes, this guy's no shit.
I want her to just, here's the thing, what they never do, tarot cards and all that stuff, anything that's just interpreted, they never give people
Let's not talk about tarot cards, all right?
Yeah.
I'm the fucking master. I'm going to read your tarot next episode, actually.
Sure, no all problem right. with that. I've all had right. my tarot cards read multiple times.
Yeah.
And
I'm
going to
give
it
you the chakra
people
as well.
I don't know. Just say things that are so unbelievably not true about me.
Like what?
Like that I've had people read my cards multiple times in different, not just, there's different types of things. But I've had tarot also, where they're just like calling me like a really nice person. And I'm like, that's fucking hilarious.
Were any of these people idiots?
Same camp as you, whatever that is.
genius? Sure. King of kings? You've had other kings of kings.
I did.
Do your cards.
I slayed them, so now my chakra is fucking
all right,
on fire.
First order of business. Did you guys do the task at the end of the episode, the last one?
What?
What was it, like, do a kind deed?
Yes, you have to send somebody a text to your mother that says, I love you, and I thank you for being loving and supporting to me throughout my life. Did either of you do that?
Well, my mother's dead, so. difficult to send it to the afterlife.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
But I put it out into the universe.
Okay.
So
maybe your dad then? Pull out your phones and send the fucking messages.
I helped him. If you're in the cult. 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. So neither of you are living up to the expectations of your leader right now.
There's nothing like, well, so, man, I just don't like telling people I love them over text. That's
like why?
Because it's, like it's like the least sincere way.
No, it's more sincere. It means you like thought about them in the middle of your day, like, and you didn't Hallmark just say it because they're in front of you. It's not like a Hallmark card. It's way better than that.
I don't know.
Texting is the most efficient way of communicating between humans.
It's it's great. It's also the thought. I have lots of thoughts about, like, my family that I'm like, oh, that's great, I love them, but I don't text it to them every time. That's fucking psychotic.
I'm not saying every time. The thing that we talked about at the end of the last episode was that every week we're gonna have one task to fulfill our
gotcha. I did it.
Yeah,
you know, I think that if I texted my mom that, she would think that I'm about to die.
I don't care.
Test
you're
test
either in or you're out. That's the way the cult works.
Send
I don't care if you're in or out.
I'm going to go see my mom. After,
hopefully you're not in.
After this.
Don't be in.
I'm going to say
get
hi.
Out.
not for you.
All right. So what I want to talk about today is what makes a good cult leader. Like the center.
So they're coming from the premise that there is good cult leaders.
Yeah. The central figure behind, like, a philosophy or a cult is somebody that embodies the core tenets of the philosophy or cult or religion. So you look at Christ compared to, like, Muhammad. Muhammad was a guy that had sex slaves. He married a six-year-old. He was more like a Genghis Khan type character than, say, the Buddha. The Buddha was a rich man. His name was Siddhartha. He left his kingdom and his princehood and all his money and sat under a tree and starved himself to death until he found enlightenment. So that was a guy rejecting the material world. Yeah, it's noble.
I'm joking. It's not.
Okay.
It's narcissistic.
Also,
why
is he so fat?
I mean, it's easy to leave the money if you already have it.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's like coming from the highest point of privilege and then being like, I want to understand what everyone else feels like. Because everything is too good.
Honestly, you're running ahead a little bit, because that's one of the things I don't like about Buddhism, is it promotes laziness. It's just somebody sitting under a tree for enlightenment.
There's nothing.
Jesus was a craftsman. He built tables like me. He's a fucking woodworker.
What a menial task for a god.
It's great.
Have.
He's got a blue collar background.
Yeah, he does. Really. Yeah, really does.
You know that fucking Joseph was like 90 years old and Mary was 15 when they conceived Jesus.
They didn't have sex.
Yeah.
Really? 90?
Yeah.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
The whole Bible is just like fucking teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one part where these girls are in a cave and it's just their dad, and they're like, they had to run away from society. So they get him, they want kids still, so they get him drunk.
And fuck their
him.
Dad?
They raped their
right
dad.
Right on, dude. He raised two fucking exceptional women.
Right.
So the central figure of a philosophy or religion, like, you look at, like, Stoic philosophy, and there's this guy named Zeno.
I don't know what that is.
Stoicism is, like, to act stoically. It was invented in Greece by this guy named Zeno, whose ship, with all his possessions, sunk in the harbor of Greece. And so
Zeno's the alien in
in
Scientology.
Different Zeno. Different Zeno.
They captured all the souls and released them on Earth.
Yeah. And so what he did, he had no fucking possessions. He was stranded in a foreign land or a foreign city and had a lot of time on his hands. So he went in and started reading Socrates. And I think there's one quote from Socrates that you can kind of pin down the whole philosophy to. And that it's like, if you're looking for happiness to come from the external world, then you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life. Like, the only way to gain true happiness is to take control over your desire for pleasure and material things, and take control over your emotions so that you're not reacting to the outside, that you have complete control over your state of mind. And that influenced Christianity in a big way. It was like predating Christianity and Christ. But that's where the whole...
It's easy to say when you have no choice.
What do you mean?
He's stranded on an island, lost everything he has, and I was like, I guess happiness isn't things. Yeah. Because if it is, I'm fucked because I just lost all my things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's easy to say from that point when you have no other option.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm by myself. Turns out happiness is just being okay within.
Yeah.
Because I have no fucking choice.
So like Marcus Aurelius, he was like a stoic.
Happiness has a lot to do with connections you make to other people, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
If you're stranded on an island, you're not going to even consider that.
I don't even think that happiness...
Or else you're
going
to Wilson it from...
I don't think that happiness is the point of life either. I think it's like leaving the world a little bit better than it was when you got here. And if you got to go through some trial and tribulations...
In what way do you mean? Better how?
I mean like in the way that you interact with people and treat other people.
Okay.
And the way that you treat yourself, the way that you treat your dog, the way that you treat your family and your community and all those things. Like it should be the outside world is a
you mean influencing people to leave things a little better.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus environmentally or wealth or all those things.
Your
also.
External reality is a reflection of how you feel inside. So somebody that's like the world sucks, it's a fucking shithole, they believe those things about themselves as well. Like I legitimately think that the world is a beautiful place and that humanity's doing good right now.
Best it's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's because I'm starting to feel that way about myself. Like in my early 20s when I fucking hated myself and I was ripping out my hair on stage and screaming into a microphone and cutting myself.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah. What happened? my balding? Yeah. Should have left a couple of those handfuls in there.
No shit.
Wasn't thinking about investing in my future.
At least you evened out both sides. Yeah, I could have got a little awkward. Yeah.
But yeah, when I was doing that for people's entertainment when I played in a band, I hated myself and I hated like society and I took it out on myself rather than out on other people. It was a reflection of my consciousness. Like, I think that, like, true love, like, when you love somebody else, it's like looking into a mirror and shining a flashlight into the mirror. It should reflect back perfectly on you. Like, your love towards other people should illuminate you back. So,
what does true love mean to you?
Sacrificing the future for somebody else.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's what I like. That's a true love. I love people. There's very few people I would sacrifice my plan for.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I think that, like, there's this concept of the other. And the other is all that's external from you. Like, you're the other. The walls are the other. My clothing is a kind of the other. Even though it's mine and I'm wearing it, it's not a part of my body. Everything outside of my
concept.
Body.
I'm me. Everything else is other. Got it.
And
it's pretty easy to understand. You don't have to point out everything in the room. The curtain's the other. The door's the other.
It's a fairly metaphysical concept. I'll keep going. Thank you. Part of the purpose of life is to become the other. So me and you as friends, the more that we hang out, the more that we'll start talking to each other. We'll have inside jokes that nobody gets. We become each other to a certain extent. You talk like them. You eat similar foods. You consume similar media. And that's part of the purpose
like
of life.
Like this over here. I've been living with him for months now. And he says, yeah, after every sentence. And then I realized I was saying it and sounding just as dumb as him.
Yeah?
It's fucking so stupid. People ask me a question, I'll be like, I'll answer it and then say yeah at the end.
Yeah.
Because of him.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. I'm becoming a worse person.
Yeah?
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My plan is working.
All right, back to the central figure of a cult. So Jesus, like, I think the reason why Christianity is successful is he was hardworking. It promotes somebody to get a trade and fucking work and contribute to the world. He built tables for people and made them happy. He was probably a good craftsman. But the idea of Jesus isn't the most important part of that story. The important part that people overlook is how the Christ becomes the Christ, how a regular person becomes the Messiah. Because I don't think that they're born the Messiah. I think they become it through the trials and tribulations that they've gone through in life. And people wear these bracelets that say...
What do you mean by the Messiah?
God incarnated in man.
So you aren't inherently God.
I mean...
That makes no sense.
You don't know that you are. You have to realize it. Everybody is God. They just haven't realized it.
That makes no sense either.
I know, because you're thinking from a third plane of reality, and I'm on the fucking fifth dimensional vibration.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So we're instead of Jesus, is the only one that figured out.
All right, so
but we're all
the way that Christ
God.
Did it. The way that Christ did it is the way that every mystic.
So we are in a simulation. It's just God's brain.
The way that every mystic and like figure of these things does it is they go out to nature and they challenge themselves by staying in nature. And what Christ did, same as what the Buddha did.
To be fair,
let me finish before you interrupt me, please.
They only really had a village and
all right,
nature.
Just keep interrupting me.
Right?
Yes.
They only had two things.
This is true.
So yeah. It's not like they were choosing. They were just choosing to leave their village. As soon as they left it, the only option they had was nature.
Yes. That's all we have too, by the way. It's not much different than that.
Yeah, that's kind of fair. It's but we
exactly
have a lot
exactly the same nowadays.
Well, if you leave your village, there's other things.
There was back other then too. Just yeah. Concede that you had a bad point. All right. I'll roll forward. Thanks for interrupting me again.
No problem.
So what Christ did, everyone wears these bracelets that say, "What would Jesus do?" And they wear it to remind themselves that inside of a tricky scenario, they should act Christ-like. That's like the central idea of Christianity, is having this personal relationship with Christ and trying to act Christ-like. Well, what would Jesus do? I'm asking you, what would Jesus do?
He would get murdered on a cross.
Yes, that is what Jesus would do. Yeah, having the opportunity, Socrates did the exact same thing. You're going to be murdered by the government. They didn't run away. They faced their burden head on and had courage and bravery and were martyred for that reason. You can't become a martyr if you volunteer for death. You have to be...
Why would you want to be a martyr?
I don't want to. That's why I'm not attaching my name to this
thing.
Why
would anyone?
What people seek...
It seems like such a narcissistic thing. It's like when rich people build statues...
If you're going to ask me a question, let me answer it.
Well, it's a multi-part question.
Okay. Why would anyone want to become a martyr?
Yeah.
People have children so that the image of them lives on through something else. People create great works of art so that their name lives on longer. To become a martyr... Mm-hmm. Especially of the central figure of a religion, means your name lives longer than anybody else's.
See, that seems very narcissistic and the opposite of noble.
Okay. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm not doing this podcast out of nobility. Don't confuse yourself.
No, yeah. I'm not thinking that. So it reminds me of like those rich dudes who like they have all this money that they realize when they're dying is worthless.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then they just start building statues of themselves everywhere to hope people will still remember that they had a lot of money when they were alive.
Yeah. It's like,
look, it all wasn't for nothing.
Everybody wants $100 million or $1 billion. Warren Buffett has it, and all he wants is to be young again so that he can fucking do it all over again.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Spend his entire life fucking working.
That's what when people ask me, because I chose a weird life, I think, so far.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? What's going to happen when you're old and like you don't know where you're going to be at? And I'm like, I'm not working 30 years so I can be old.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Have
I'm having
fun
now
young.
And I'll figure it out later.
Yeah. I did that for a little bit too long. I should have tried to figure it out while I was having fun.
Well, me too. But
that's how I ended up a 35-year-old drug addict that still makes $20 an hour and is going to school. Anyways, model your life after me.
Can we cut that out of the podcast?
No.
A cut leader came.
I'm a divine being from the astral plane that was incarnated here in order to experience those trials and tribulations to turn me into the Messiah.
You did what Jesus did.
Exactly. Yeah. I hung out with prostitutes and I did coke off their titties and let them fucking wash my face in their piss. Or was it feet with hair? I don't remember. Anyways, so Christ... He's a great central figure for a religion. The answer to what would Jesus do? Well, he'd go out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights without any food or water to challenge his will. Overcoming your will is what you should try and do in life, because to control your thoughts, to control your impulses, to control all of these things and act virtuously in the world, you have to overcome your will to get to that level of sacrifice. And learning how to sacrifice your pleasure in this...
You mean your willpower?
Yeah. So it's like... It centers around the idea of free will. Do we have free will? What do you think? Do we have free will?
That's a complicated question.
I know.
Because in the religious sense, yes. In the biological sense, maybe not. Because there's a lot of very smart neurologists that think almost all your actions are based upon your interactions throughout your life, and that all that your decisions really get processed before you actually have a chance to think about them, quote unquote. So if that is true, that means you don't have any free will and you're just reacting like a fucking Venus flytrap when a fly lands in it. But you just don't know it because you've created some complex identity of yourself that thinks it's making all its decisions.
So there's been these studies with like identical twins that were separated at birth. And 30 years down the road...
Oh, those are some fucked up studies,
they find
by the way.
Each other. Yeah, they find each
They're
other.
They're intentional.
Sometimes.
Some of them were.
Yeah. And they find that, like, the dudes end up working almost the exact same job. They end up dating, both having wives named Karen that look identical, both having kids. The kids have the same name. Like, insane shit that their biology carried them into the future.
Yeah.
So, free will isn't free. That's the thing. What... In order to have free will, you have to earn it. And that earning it comes through dedication of diet and of exercise and all of these things and overcoming specific adversities. So if one of those twins had like gone keto and gone down to South America, did ayahuasca 25 times, they would not end up in the exact same life as...
But here you have a little paradox then, because your biology is what would drive you to do that in the first place.
Yeah.
So then you're at the...
What I'm saying is that...
If one was driven to do keto and go into the woods, then the other one biologically would probably be driven to do keto and go into the woods and would end you up at the same spot.
Freedom comes from overcoming your biology, essentially. Like for me in the last year, like overcoming drug addiction. Everything in my biology told me to keep doing drugs for the rest of my life and it would have spiraled into the gutter. But I had to have this clarity of mind, which I got through magic mushrooms, that said, what the fuck are you doing with your life? You're a fucking loser. What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? I literally walked around my apartment for 2 hours saying, what the fuck are you doing? And then checked into rehab after that experience. So something intervened in my biology. Going keto will heal your gut biome. Your gut biome is like a second brain. So you got to heal your stomach.
Change it.
Exactly.
But everything you eat changes your gut biome.
I know. I know. And this is where dedication comes in to the act of free will. Free will is not free. You have to earn it. And most people, I would say 90% of the population isn't self-aware enough to get to that point.
Yeah, I'm not. The whole concept of that, like with the neurology side, is that it doesn't really matter. All these thoughts that you're thinking that are going outside your biology are in fact going completely with it, but that's part of your biology, is wanting to go against it. So you have no way of ever knowing if you're ever going against your biology.
Yeah.
You literally don't. So you're in some eternal struggle figuring out, am I doing the right thing? You'll always be that. You'll never know you are.
What I believe is that Christ became the Christ when it went into the desert for 40 days and night. Buddha became the Buddha when it made that decision to do those things. And the reason why I'm the central figure of this cult is because I've done those things as well. I've gone into the jungle and drank ayahuasca 25 times and then did it by myself another 25 times. There's nobody else that I know that I've met that's ever done anything like that in their life.
No.
I've reached into the astral plane, into the spirit world, connected with entities there.
That's some aggressive drug-seeking behavior, by the way, that you have to go to the jungle to get your drugs.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That's some fucking...
I don't like calling those things drugs, though. They're medicines in my mind.
Okay, well...
Yeah. So I...
That's a...
I want to tell a...
It's a labelist, I guess.
I wanted to tell a story of...
What's drugs to you, then?
Drugs is like pharmaceutical shit and like hard drugs is like cocaine.
What about aspirin?
Yeah, that's a medicine or a drug as well. Drugs
centrally, that's one of like the biggest examples of it's just derived from one plant, synthesized, concentrated.
Yeah, but you lose things like they made synthetic cannabis, which was called K2, and people just fucking freaked out.
Yeah,
it's not the same as cannabis. Yeah,
K2 is chemical.
These things are very intensely complex chemicals, and like one protein difference will change the experience 100%. Completely.
But I'm also saying that you can concentrate something without chemically cloning it.
Okay.
Right? Just like they do THC in weed.
I'm not sure what you mean, sorry.
Well, you can get like a weed gummy with just concentrated THC, essentially.
Yeah.
To smoke that much THC would be a fucking jar of weed, but they've got it into one gummy. My point is it's concentrated. It doesn't have to be different. Chemically.
Yeah, and when you eat it, it's not even THC. Your liver changes it.
But that's not really my point. My point is that you can concentrate things without chemical.
I would guarantee inside of that gummy, though, there's more alkaloids than just THC. There's a bunch more.
Sure.
Yeah.
We were at negative two, by the way. It wasn't even... I was waiting for the click.
Oh, okay.
Five, four, three.
Two.
And then...
Which button?
And then now. Yeah, I'm like, that's negative three. Yeah. That's... Don't know how to count.
Angus sucks at producing. We all know this. He's going to get better, though. He's a smart guy. He'll figure it out eventually.
Thank you, Jordan. You're...
The messiah? Go ahead.
Jordan's a messiah because he's nicer.
It's a false nicer. Yeah. He lows you inside.
I'm more of a hot mess, Saya.
I'm going to put a 10-minute mute on that third mic.
The reason why I'm a good central figure for this cult is because I'm done partying.
You got to sell it better than that. I don't want to hear a reason why you're... I don't want to hear you ever say this is why you should be the cult leader. I just want you to say stuff as the cult leader.
Okay, no, that's a good point.
Yeah.
The reason why I am God incarnate in man that has come to this planet to save humanity. Yeah.
That's a shit talk about. I'll follow you anywhere.
Yeah. I'm the fucking man. I'm the king of kings. I'm the prince of thieves.
Dude,
and I'm
going
to steal your heart.
I'm rubbing the shit out of my chakras right now.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Dude. What are these ones?
I became the messiah when I indulged into these sacred plants and psychedelic rituals and realized that I am one. So I'm going to tell a story about me becoming God and becoming the universe. I was in South America and I hadn't drank ayahuasca yet. I was at a retreat or like at a hotel kind of place out in the jungle. And this chick showed up and she started cooking some mescaline. Her name was Jennifer. She was like a 27-year-old redheaded chick. And she was super smart, super cool.
What the fuck was she doing in the jungle?
She went to Peru for the same reason I did, to go there and get fucked up on psychedelics.
Okay.
And she had bought some mescaline plants in like the town and brought them back and was preparing them.
Which is a cactus?
Yeah. It's a San Pedro cactus. And so I was like, where did you get those? I'll do it with you. And went to town and they said you should buy 1.5 plants for your ceremony. And my motto is when I do psychedelics, I don't like to go halfway to God's house. So I always take 3 times the amount that is suggested.
God damn it,
yeah.
Dude.
So I bought 6 mescaline plants. I skinned the outside of them. You peel off the dark green stuff on the outside.
You get the soft fleshy
and then
part.
You get the medium colored green, cut that out from the white core.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it through a juicer. And fucking separated all the pulp and just got the juice and cooked that down for, I want to say like 3 or 4 hours inside of my rice maker in my room. And then everyone was sitting around and this guy named Victor, who was like a fucking bodybuilder, it was just Hulk of a man, was like, oh, I'm going to hang out with you guys and like drink some whiskey while you guys trip balls. And there's this chick named
Aaron. That sounds like my jam.
Yeah. There's this chick named Aaron who is super hot and this other gay guy, I don't remember his name. And we all drank it. And after about 45 minutes, I could feel it coming on. There's like it's an amphetamine. So you get like this rush of like
Is
energy.
It really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
I was looking over at Erin and I could see that she was like curling up her face and like uncomfortable. And then I went like this and smelled. And I could smell Victor's whiskey beside me. And the scent of it was so strong that it was like piercing my lungs and like I couldn't, it made me cringe inside. Like it heightens your senses. And I could see that it was making her uncomfortable smelling because she was downwind from him. So I asked Victor, who was like getting drunk. And if you've ever seen anybody that's drunk on psychedelics, they look like a fucking chimpanzee trying to use a computer. Like they just look retarded.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
And Victor moves down and Aaron comes and sits beside me and
the devious plan is already working.
Yeah.
I'm about to fuck this chick on psychedelics.
No.
I just out alpha the biggest guy in the fucking room right now. Hey Victor, beat it.
Beat it, Victor.
Hey bitch, get over here.
I wish that was the case. She wouldn't sleep with me. I tried a couple times while I was down there.
I knew it.
And and so like I'm feeling like this thing coming on, like this rush inside of me. It's almost like adrenaline mixed with like pure emotional, like emotion devoid of feeling. So it's not sadness. It's not happiness. It's not anything. It's just this raising of your emotions, basically. And right next door to us was these biologists who were studying moths. And they had a big white sheet up with lights projected onto it to attract moths to the sheet. So we're like tripping balls and we go over there and just look at like thousands of different moths that have come from this one area. And one of the biologists told us that the reason that they're attracted to light is because they think it's the moon. So they're always trying to fly towards the moon to like migrate. And yeah, yeah. And I just love the idea of a moth fucking being like, retarded. Oh my God, I fucking found it. And then somebody fucking grabs you with some tweezers and throws you in a jar for the rest of your
life. Or they shut the light off and you're like,
oh shit, the moon's gone.
I guess the world's over.
Yeah. All right. So then I'm feeling like this is embarrassing to admit. No, it's not, because I am the Messiah.
Don't ever say something like that ever again.
Lots of times when I've done psychedelics, I've thought that I was Jesus. I thought that I was Christ, and I still do. And I don't tell very many people that, because I used to be ashamed to be the Messiah, and now I know that I'm the King of Kings, exactly. And that I shouldn't be ashamed of who I am as the Son of God.
At the end of the podcast, I am going to fucking kill you, though.
Yeah. Thank you, Judas. Jennifer got bit by a bullet ant. And she was, bullet ants are extremely painful to get bit
by. One of the most painful.
Yeah, extremely
One of the most painful sensations in the world, I think.
Yeah, yeah, fucked up.
Because it lasts for
And she was
hours
screaming, and she laid out in this hammock, and I was like, listen, my child, I'm going to heal you right now with the power of my hands.
Oh my God, that's fucking awesome.
And she was like, okay, and I put my hands on her.
You just grabbed her tits?
No, no. That would have been great.
Hold on, let me heal you with the power of my fingers.
Yeah, I like went poof, poof, blew in my hands, fucking rubbed them together, and then put them on her foot and went.
Why are the sounds necessary?
It's theatrics. People appreciate that sort of thing. Uh-huh. Bing! Like a microwave ending.
You gotta sell it.
And fucking healed her foot.
Yeah?
Yeah. No pain after that whatsoever.
Placebo effect's real.
But yeah, I fucking healed her. Ask Jennifer. You can look her up online.
Believe it. That's one of the many miracles.
That was my first miracle. So at that point...
This is like Scientology, except better. But we let you in the first chapter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One at a time.
Yeah.
We gave you Xenu first day.
Xenu first day. Hell yeah, dude. That where they end is where,
it's where we
start.
Begin, exactly.
Yeah, fuck you. Go fuck yourself, Elrond.
Dude, that guy was thinking too small.
Yeah, old Mother Hubbard. So after that, I heard this voice, and it said to me, "You are the devil." And I saw this pattern. You see the tattoo on my hand right here? It was a pattern of a cactus holding a cactus pitchfork, and it had horns like the devil. And this pattern was layering over top of everything that I saw, and it was moving. And this cactus was looking at me, and it was winking, and it said, "You are the devil."
Is that what that fucking tattoo is?
Yeah. So that's a San Pedro cactus.
That is bizarre.
And
that
it's got
a bizarre tattoo. That's the most druggy tattoo I've ever seen.
And it's got Saturn right beside it, Satan and Saturn.
Oh.
So it said to me, "You are the devil." And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I do not want to be the devil right now.
I just told that chick I was Jesus.
Jesus Christ, I do not want to be the devil.
But it's also something the devil would do.
Yeah, yeah.
Devil would have grabbed your tits.
And I've learned with psychedelics that you don't run away from any thought or idea or like thing that you're feeling. You fucking face it head on.
Oh, hell yeah. That's both times I did it, completely fought them.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
Fought them both times.
Yeah, and you had a bad trip, right?
No, one.
Not a great
two.
One. Yeah.
No, one was good, one was bad.
Okay, you gotta confront that shit, because what it's doing is it's trying to teach you something, and you can't run away from your lessons. That's why you did the psychedelics in the first place. So I said, all right, I'm the devil. And it said,
I did it because someone had it, and they're like, here, take this. And I was like, all right.
Well, this is why you should do it, I'm saying. So it said, go get your pen. So I walked over to my maloka and sat down at the...
Excuse me?
Maloka is like an individual little house sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
And I sat down at the desk and I grabbed a pen and I put it to a piece of paper. And as soon as I put it to the paper, my soul or like my astral body sucked back. And I was standing behind myself sitting in the chair. So I could see my body sitting in the chair and I was standing behind it. But my body was covered in green skin and it had little spines coming out of it, just like the cactus. And it had horns over its head. But it was my exact physiological form sitting in the chair, and it was writing. And I was just looking over at my shoulder or the devil's shoulder, fucking writing in this notebook. And then just like as fast as I had left my body, it went... And the devil left through the top of my head, and I was sucked in through my asshole and fucking occupied my physical form. And I looked in the notebook.
Of all the holes you have, that's the one you chose.
Well, it's the one in the back.
It's the one that's already been prepped for it.
Yeah.
It's well used for entry.
I looked in the notebook, and it's written in like this diagonal handwriting, like scrawled in what you would imagine like the devil's handwriting to look like. It said, "You are the devil. The devil is any being that has forgotten it is God. Realize that you are the devil and you will become God." That's some fucking badass occult shit right there.
That's
dude.
Very unbelievably culty.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to be...
That's some Aleister Crowley type.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. So the underlying premise of that statement, like I thought about that for the rest of the night for like 10 hours because it's an amphetamine. I didn't sleep for like 24 hours after that. I took a shitload. Everybody else ended up fucking puking their guts out.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I kept three times the amount in my body and fucking rode it out. Didn't even feel sick.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fucking designed for this shit because I'm the Messiah, dude. Yeah. So anyways, I thought very deeply about that concept and wrote about it in my notebook for like a couple weeks. And so the carbon atom, which... Basically, everything in the universe is made out of carbon, right?
Well, yeah. One of a few elements.
So the carbon...
Nitrogen.
The carbon atom has 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. That's where the number of the beast comes from. That's what we are. We're beasts. We're not quite angels and not quite animals. We're beasts. Everything that exists inside of the material realm is the devil, because what God had to do to create the universe was forget that it was God. So it created the material realm, and the material realm is Satan. All of it is Satan. It's occupying the material realm, and God oversees the world that Satan didn't create, was created out of by God. So to realize in the state of material objective reality that you are the devil, realizing that you are the forgotten God. That's what the devil is. The devil is just a being that forgot that it is God. Then you become God immediately.
So you have two choices.
Yeah.
You're the devil or God.
Yeah. The devil doesn't know both that it's the devil.
Equally powerful.
The devil has no idea that it is the devil. It just forgot that it is God.
So I'm the devil.
You're the devil.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Knew it the whole time.
Now you're God. That's how it works.
Yeah, that was fucking...
Are you the devil, Angus?
That was so goddamn easy.
Yeah.
You're the devil?
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're God. Welcome to the club, motherfuckers. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So what do you think of that story?
I'm going to try it. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. That's a very psychedelic, trippy. That's what I think if you go to the jungle to do ayahuasca, you hope happens to you.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. It's... Taking three times the amount is a fucking huge part of it.
I have a problem with the devil being a cactus. Other than
that. Well, you drink a cactus. And
I don't, just kidding.
Yeah. So the thing is, like, the reason I'm the Messiah, again, is because you'll never meet anybody else in your entire life that has the courage to do that. I'm overflowing with courage.
The Messiah doesn't need to convince people that
I'm not convincing you. I'm telling you this is why I'm the Messiah. If you can become the Messiah... Just drink three times the amount of fucking cactus that you're supposed to.
No, because you have to trump.
Nobody will do it. Just like nobody would go in the desert for 40 days either, because they don't have the fucking balls to be the Messiah.
I'm going
to
say it's out there. It's like a record. You know, you can't just drink the same amount. You got to go three times harder. So now you got to go 9 times. You want to take the Messiah.
Yeah, you want to fucking take on me? Take 9 times the amount.
Go 9 times, bitch.
Take 9 times the amount.
Yeah. That's 13 and a half cactuses.
I'll do it with the fucking spines on next time.
Yeah. You're going to need 2 rice cookers.
I'll get a crock pot. Honestly, it was cool because I was watching her cook it to show me how to do it. And mm-hmm. she's like got long hair and she dresses in like all these witchy clothes and stuff like that.
Oh, get the fuck out
of
here.
And she was legitimately standing over a black cauldron with green goo inside of it bubbling. And
she has red hair.
Yeah. And I was like, this is where witch folklore comes from.
That's a witch.
That,
yeah.
That green goop that's always bubbling. That was fucking San Pedro cactus. For
probably.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And they had like part of their mythology behind it is that the juice or the fucking brew doesn't like to see the flames. It gets mad when it sees the flames, And
well, that makes sense because a lot of compounds break down.
Exactly.
Under certain heat.
Exactly. Yeah. So they invented a mythology to tell people how to cook it properly, which is on low heat for as long as you can.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, what separates that kind of folklore from science is they put science and transmuted it into a story.
Well, because they didn't have,
they didn't have any,
like, the information pathways we have now. So you had to tell a story that could be retold without being warped by the time it got two generations deep, right?
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to look at humanity of, like, how many words existed at the time from, like, all the writings that were around and shit like that. And I guarantee it's growing with, like, the same explosion of the population or whatever. Like, it's exponentially greater than it was even 500 years ago.
What, our vocabularies?
Yeah, our lexicon and our the what we paint over reality.
Well, the more complex
it.
Of thoughts you're trying to break down, the more vocabulary you need to really study it.
Yeah. And Terence McKenna had this idea that, like, or I guess it comes from the Bible, that, like, language will be complete when it's not said, it's beheld.
You know, it's funny. God created different languages to spite humanity.
No, I don't think so.
In the Bible, he did.
I think that, like, language is almost like the expression.
He literally made two people not be able to understand each other.
Okay, that's the Bible.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I think that language is like, it's like plant life. How there'll be, like, there's pine trees, but they're different in different areas. There's the same kind of plants around the globe, but they have a different expression. Like, all languages are kind of made up the same way. It's just they have different expressions of one thing.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all used for the exact same thing.
Yeah. The idea is it's called morphic resonance. Like, an area has a morphic resonance. So, like, even though we speak the same language as people that came from Newfoundland, they talk way different than we do because of the morphic resonance.
It's
of
easy
that area.
For everything to be the same. I used to have these thoughts because I used to think about aliens a lot, right?
Nice.
So, not a lot, but just the concept of them. I hate, like, the alien TV shows and shit. But the concept.
I love Ancient Aliens. It's
I hate
sick.
It. But, like, the concept of what an alien would look like, I was like, I used to think about, because I used to watch, like, how we know what a fourth dimensional shadow would look like, but we can't process.
Yeah.
What it would actually be. Like, if it a four-dimensional shape.
Yeah.
Like a perfect right angle four-dimensional shape, rather. We could kind of fathom what the shadow... We know what the shadow would be. Like that kind of shit. You know what I'm talking
about? When I think of the fourth dimension of reality, mm-hmm. I think it's something...
A physical... Well...
I think it's something that, like, science overlooks when they talk about this stuff is meaning. Like, that's what the fourth dimension is. So, like, in the context of, like, a Native American tribe... an eagle flies over top and
look up what a fourth dimensional
an eagle flies over top
shadow
and circles around the tribe and then flies on. That physical action, that three dimensional reality happening to them at that moment in time was considered an omen, and the meaning behind it is the fourth dimension of their reality, of that significant thing inside of nature happening. For the Olmecs and the Mayans, it was the eclipse happening meant this needed to happen and this needed to happen and this needed to happen. It's the meaning, because we're the makers of meaning. Our bodies are thirsty for absorbing it and can't stop creating it. We apply meaning to absolutely everything, sometimes to our detriment.
Yeah. So I got really to that, and then I started thinking about what alien would look like if it was under completely different circumstances on another part of the galaxy, another galaxy altogether, how far you'd have to go, and would it be incomprehensible? And then the more you think about it, the more you get into, like, the stars, which is that everything's made up of three things.
What's
so
that?
It couldn't be that different. Nitrogen, stardust, nitrogen, carbon, and...
Okay, so...
What's the other one? Can you look that up?
I don't need to see that. Here's where you're wrong about that. The way that we're wrong about aliens is that we think for us to meet an alien, it has to be about the same size as us.
No, we don't.
Yeah. People think when you're talking to an alien, it's about between 2 feet tall and 10 feet tall.
Well, scientifically, that's not what they say.
Okay. What do they say?
Well, a bacterium is an alien. You know what I mean? They're looking for any sign of life
whatsoever. Yeah, but I mean intelligent life. Like, I think inside of dimethyltryptamine is an entire universe filled with its own beings. And when you take that inside of you, you travel through an interdimensional warp hole into this space where these beings live full time. It's not just created inside of your brain. It's not just a reaction. It's a key to a doorway to another universe.
In what way?
Let's smoke some DMT, and that's the way. It can't be described what going through the door is like. It can't be described how real that reality is while you're in it. Because real is just like, it's a construct of language that means the most common chemical process inside of the brain. If you add a little bit more dopamine in there, you turn into a schizophrenic and hear voices talking to you. That's how fragile our consciousness is. And that's not saying...
I can ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if you're taking hallucinogenics, DMT, whatever, to try and access other realms, right?
Yeah.
And experience yourself to them as much as possible, change your perception, everything.
Yeah.
Problem with that is you don't live in that realm. You visit it on occasion. You live in this one.
Okay.
So the more you warp yourself with
you
the other...
You could say the same thing about the grocery store. You don't live in the grocery store. You just go to it and visit it sometimes. What's the point of that?
No, I mean you live in this... consciousness.
Yeah.
Right. So the more you warp your perception to try and manipulate your emotions and life and around you to
why do you go to the grocery store?
Why do I go to buy groceries?
And what do groceries provide you? Sustenance.
Energy. Yeah,
energy. So. The reason why you go to these realms is because they provide you mental sustenance. They give you insights into things that you would never think about had you not done them.
Maybe.
They'll give you, they'll allow you to look inside of yourself and confront what you don't like about yourself and give you a pathway of how to correct that thing. So there's psychological and spiritual sustenance that comes from that, the fifth dimensional grocery store that you're going to.
I found I've been, both times I did mushrooms less than acid. But both times I had a really, like people say you don't get hangovers, you do. For sure, I did.
Well, if you continue drinking and shit while you're on it, you'll get a hangover.
Alcohol hangover.
But you're drinking while you did it.
Correct, both times.
Yeah, and it'll make you drink way more than you can normally.
I didn't drink more.
Okay, well, you can. When you're on psychedelics, you can drink way more than you normally would be able to. But it's weird because it's like your mind's merged with the substance, so it's like mushrooms is getting drunk when you do it. Like, you're on mushrooms and the mushrooms are getting drunk. It's weird to describe because your mental processes are still there, but your speech is slurry. It's strange. Yeah.
I found a, like, really foggy brain for, like, a week on acid.
Yeah.
Over a week, actually.
I don't like acid
mushrooms
for that
like
reason.
2 days.
Yeah,
mushrooms is 2 days.
I feel better the next day when I eat mushrooms, but it's because like part of shamanism, like the most important role of the shaman is to teach you how to clean your body out properly beforehand and how to do a proper diet. And if you do it while your body's strong and while your stomach's empty, you'll feel better the next day. It gets bogged down by food and by like the shit that you've been putting inside. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's come up with a new thing for our loyal followers to prove their
I want you to get a magnet.
Don't make it about a mom.
What are they proving?
Thanks.
Thanks.
Reminding me my mom's still
there. Go and give your mom a hug this week.
Jesus Christ. Go. Here's what you do.
For anyone that doesn't know, Kyle's mom died recently and I'm an asshole for bringing that shit out.
Again.
Yeah.
You just now
sorry.
Also.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. You know that chick.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry for doing that, man. I apologize for
you.
I
don't accept your apology.
Well, takes a man to
see how that works.
Yeah.
I reject it
doesn't matter to me if you forgive me because I'm a stoic.
I reject your apology and I refuse to accept even the slightest amount of empathy.
Well, you're going to have to accept me into your heart if you want to get saved, dude. So you'll get over it.
I'll accept you to my ass.
What should we do this week?
And here, you know that girl you like?
Yeah.
You haven't had a chance to talk to her. Here's what you do. You get yourself a magnet. Right?
Okay.
You get
I know where you're going.
You gotta take her shirt off so you can access her chakras, right?
I like this thing of us each having two different things that we can do, and yours is always completely amoral. And mine...
Dude, I'm the devil, bitch.
Yeah.
And God.
You are. See? No, you're not God yet. No, you're not. I'm revoking your hall pass.
And if she ever just like
so,
starts,
what do you do?
If she ever, you
get a girl naked and
you get her topless.
Okay,
one that you like, you know, and then you get her to rub the magnet around. And you make some bullshit up about chakras and then all compliments, you know.
Okay,
to really get her ego going, and then you start rubbing your hands together, right, till they get warm, and then you grab her tits.
I don't believe that you have the balls to do this. If you come back next week and say that you did it, I will respect you as a man. But I don't think you have the courage to actually do that.
I'll be done.
Yeah. Okay.
I guarantee you I'll do it.
All right. So this week, ask your father to tell you a story about the first time.
My dad's dead.
About his first fist fight or like high school glory in sports or something like that. Something to give your dad a moment to be the fucking man. Get him to tell you that story about that time that he was the fucking man. That's what you should do this week.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Start a Cult. That was a good one, Kyle.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Come back with a bigger dick and with more cum.